Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect lore cast. I'm In7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, how's it going? Welcome back for another episode of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I am your host, In7 the Legend, and joining me as always is the wonderful Genesis, who was just up in my neck of the woods. Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I am happy to be back home, back in my own recording space. Everybody's happy and healthy, and we are back home from the hospital. So no more remote locations for me.
That's right. Yeah, we did have to take a week off due to some family stuff. You had a loved one in the hospital. I had a loved one in the hospital. Thankfully, everyone's okay. But we are back recording another topical episode today. No character episode. We're talking about the lore. And it is pretty cool that we were just... So we had a lot of people here in Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con. And I bought a ton of artwork. I bought a really cool kind of minimalist silhouette of the Normandy, as well as a Red Dead Redemption silhouette, a Cowboy Bebop silhouette. I got a Skyrim National Park map. So what did you pick up, Jen?
I got some Baldur's Gate 3 stickers. I went for Astarion, Gale, and Halsin. I also got some Lucanus artwork. And Final Fantasy X, my favorite Final Fantasy game. I found artwork for it and absolutely loved it. But I also got an amazing Grunt and Rex sticker that's just too perfect.
The baby Grunt. The baby Grunt. Yeah, that is pretty great. All right, well, we've got a full episode today to talk about one of the most infamous corporations that we see and play and meet in Mass Effect. We're not done talking about these corporations, not even close. And I realize that we haven't yet discussed this primary, probably the first primary corporation that we deal with, Exogeni. For those of you who don't remember who Exogeni is, they are the ones sponsoring that colony on Pharos. You know, the one that went extremely well, the one where everyone lived happily ever after and nothing bad or dark ever happened to them. Yeah, that one.
Nothing bad ever happens on Pharos. It's fine.
Certainly not players getting lost forever and then getting fed up and putting down the game. That doesn't happen. Not to me in 2007.
Stupid stairwell. Which way am I supposed to go, up or down these stairs?
The stairs from hell. Those stairs were like a labyrinth, and you never know which floor you were on. Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's the least scary part of this episode that we're going to talk about. The lore tells us that Exogeni actually funded several human colonies. So across the galaxy, there are people getting lost in Exogeni stairwells. No, they're not to blame for that. The Protheans are. Those are Prothean ruins. But we learn more about Exogeni's corporate mission, if you want to call it that, from... do you remember the Exogeni VI, the stupid machine?
I loved that Krogan interaction. I'm going to turn you into dust.
It was... like telling him to cooperate before he turns his virtual ass into actual dust. Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. And then he throttles the machine as if that's going to help. But anyway, we do learn more about basically how the corporation at least sees itself or what it's willing to say about itself through the VI. And would you like to learn more about the Exogeny Corporation? Because Shepard would too. And that's exactly how Shepard phrases it when we are on Pharos talking to the Exogeny VI. Go ahead and take a listen here.
I want to know about Exogeny Corporation.
Exogeny Corporation is at the forefront of human expansion in the new galactic economy, funding colonial development and securing resource rights to ensure our progress as a species. Further inquiries regarding company policy may be directed to Consumer Information Services during regular business hours.
Who's in charge here? Who organized the research?
All decisions about local resource analysis and acquisition are made by on-site management, deferring to the board of directors only when seasonal quotas are missed or exceeded.
All right. Well, that was hypo corporate speak, basically telling us that you're not going to get any more information than that. Jen, how did you feel about hearing that much corpo speak, given that you host a show on Cyberpunk?
Oh, gosh, no. Forget about corporations and cyberpunk. That's a whole list of problems. And there was so much corporate speak in that little chat. I mean, it wasn't that long. And I get that this is a VI who can only say what it is programmed to say. But they did a great job of saying a lot without telling us anything.
Yeah, that reminds me of one of my favorite insults ever. I've never heard someone say so much and say so little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love
very that much that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I did glean from this, though, is that they're funding human colonies, and that is their bread and butter. They fund these human colonies so that they can gobble up resource rights on different worlds. They give the colonists their initial investment, and then they say, send us back what we want, or else, which is colonialism. That's how that works. They are essentially a chartered company because they're not a government, right? They're a corporation. And I was looking into these, you know, the history of chartered companies. The best way to liken it to a private corporation now is it's a pool of investors who agreed to sponsor expeditions or colonial efforts, like in the 18th century, the East India Company. Today, many of those corporations are gone, but the premise is the same. They invest, you make the development, and then they tell you how to do it. So think venture capitalists in space.
Or to a little bit lesser of an extent, Shark Tank. We will invest in your company, you build it up and produce the items, but we'll tell you how to do it and make it right. I think Grunt would really like Shark Tank up until the point he realizes that the sharks are human.
Oh yeah, he would be disappointed. Significantly so. He'd be like, well, there's surprisingly few sharks in this. Wait, weren't sharks like some of his Google history?
Uh-huh. And then he started reading all about them, and then he was like, sharks are cool.
Shark Week. Grunt would be all about Shark Week. Oh my gosh, you would not be able to pull him away from the TV.
We got to do a Grunt episode soon.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe just an episode where we grunt. Yeah, people would listen to that. Yeah.
Well, I think my throat would hurt after that.
Yeah, right in the face. People are listening to this on their drive to work, and they're like, what the heck am I listening to right now? Why am I doing this? Anyway, let me tell you why you're doing this, because we're going to talk more about the lore. That VI saying consumer information services, yeah, I bet that one's really helpful. From this, though, we can deduce that they do have a corporate headquarters somewhere. Somewhere. Probably. Who knows? Where else would this consumer information services call center be? Or maybe it's just like a VI that doesn't actually exist anywhere, and your call is going into like the shadow realm. I'm giving corporations ideas right now. If you work for a corporation and it's your job to like oversee customer service, forget what I just said. You didn't hear it. Maybe they are outsourcing customer service, but the interesting thing for me is that they have consumers. They call it consumer information services. What are they selling?
No clue. They never get into the details of that.
Pitchman in my mind just answered my own question when I said, what are they selling? Like the pitchman in my mind just went, hope. We're selling hope. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm rolling my eyes myself in a hypothetical. They are selling hope for a new world and a new future where you can go be the person you've always wanted to be on the frontiers of space. Kind of like Westworld. You can't sell.
I was like selling the American dream in space.
Manifest destiny. That's essentially what Exogeny is doing. Yeah. Mr. Dragon here in chat says, question is, who's worse, Exogeny or Binary Helix? I'm not totally convinced that they're not ultimately ran by like the same people. So hold on and we'll get into that a little bit later. But my biggest question is addressed near the end of what that VI said. Who is in charge? That's my question, right? And because the corporations that's shelling out millions of credits is not going to just let local management call all the shots. These are just colonists who signed up to sign their life away. So the VI really skillfully dodges this question of who is really using this authority over the colony. But my guess would be that whoever's calling the shots is whoever is diverting the money. Where are the investments coming from? Who are the investors? Who could that be? And right now, you know, at this point in the lore, we don't know. You know, there's some strong hints that we'll get into a little bit later. But in case you thought maybe this corporation episode will be different, maybe this company isn't so bad and evil, maybe they're just run-of-the-mill corporate greedy little goblins? I don't know what else to call them. Well, think again. It is revealed pretty early on that Exogeny is aware of this Thorian, right? And that it wants to actively set up its own unwitting colonists, who I guess you could call employees, so that they will be like mentally commandeered by this Thorian. Without telling them, by the way. They didn't tell them, like, hey, you know, by the way, here's what you're signing up for. And anyway, towels are on the roof. This is so, like the definition of shady and unethical. Even if they did know about it, it's still shady, even if they knew about it. So let's take a listen to a little bit more of that conversation where the VI tells us exactly what Exogeny is doing with the Thorian. Here it is.
What does Zeus Hope have to do with the Thorian?
Species 37 is located within the substructure of the Zeus Hope outpost.
Tell me everything you know about the Thorian.
The Thorian is a simple plant life form that exhibits a sentient behavior uncommon with other flora. Through dispersion and the eventual inhalation of spores, it can affect and control other organisms, including humans. The Zoo's Hope Control Group has yielded interesting results. Before sensors went offline, almost 85% of all test subjects were infected.
Are you saying Exogeny knew its people were getting infected?
It was deemed necessary to assess the true potential of Species 37.
That explains their strange...
Oh my gosh. Like, honestly... So they were deemed necessary. They were deemed non-essential employees, but their mission was essential. They were deemed... Don't you love the passive voice as if to exculpate whatever manager or supervisor made that decision? They were deemed, not so-and-so deemed it necessary, because that would actually prescribe some level of accountability. This is a really big... pet peeve of mine, and start paying, like, if people are listening to this, start paying attention to this in real life. When someone uses passive voice, there is a likelihood that they are trying to keep the subject out of your mind, the subject of the action they are talking about, grammatically speaking. So in this instance, they said they were deemed, the colonists were deemed. Okay, well, who deemed them necessary? That might not come to mind immediately, but start paying attention to it in real life. When you listen to passive voice, not active voices, Sam kicked the ball. Passive voices, the ball was kicked by Sam. Or you can go even more passive and just say the ball was kicked. Okay, by who? Start paying attention to this when you hear it in real life, and you might discover some seedlings of deception in your own life. Anyway, that's my soapbox. I'm going to get off of it. Jen?
I also have a soapbox about medically informed consent. Like, none of those people, they were deemed to be the unwitting, unwilling volunteers. They were voluntold to do this experiment. That's not informed consent. That's not okay to genetically and medically test things on me that have never been tested before.
Let alone an alien that takes control of your mind.
Yeah. Let's turn an unforeseen interaction with an unknown alien species into an experiment where we know that the result is going to be mind control.
That's okay. They got consent after the experiment started. So the Thorian gave him consent. You know, yeah, it's just so messed up on multiple levels. Like the just they're basically using them as medical test subjects. Yeah. And these are not, you know, these are not people who signed up for this at all. They're not there. And no one's telling them what's happening, basically. Yet the corporation that is backing them knows because they have someone monitoring this situation. Another interesting tidbit to me is that although Exogeny seems far too eager to experiment on its own people, that doesn't appear to be the original goal of the colony. Like, it's really easy, I think, for us to lose sight of that because we get wrapped up in this Thorian thing right away when we land. But the VI tells us that the Thorian was discovered by a quote-unquote small team who were exploring near the ruins near the colony's outpost, Zeus Hope. So it may have been an accidental discovery, that's kind of how it sounds, because the corporation, it likely makes its bulk of revenue, its biggest chunk, maybe not the majority, but the plurality of its revenue, from colonists across its portfolio of worlds. And those colonists are making these, you know, maybe they're finding like really valuable archaeology of a long-lost alien race. Maybe they're sending back Prothean tech specifically. That's probably how Exogeny is making its revenue. Doesn't explain where its investments are coming from, but that's how it's probably making its revenue based off of any product, I guess you could say it is. Within a few weeks, though, that colony, the VI says that the colonists exhibited altered behavior, and a week later, 85% had this altered behavior. So within a month, almost everyone had become a Thorian puppet, meaning, what I found really interesting here is that if Shepard had stayed there longer, it's likely that someone on their crew would have been co-opted or they would have started exhibiting some kinds of mental changes. But we didn't see that.
Thankfully. It would have been interesting, though, to also have to put a little bit more stake in the game that way. Of we need to figure out the cure, we need to figure out like how to resolve this Thorian issue if one of our own had also been taken into the Thorian experiment.
Before you move on, I wanted to piggyback on that, which is imagine how interesting it would have been if they didn't tell you that one of your own squad mates was infected with the Thorian thing until after you decided that you were either going to spare or kill the colonists.
Ooh. Ooh, I like tricky ones like that.
Yeah, and then it becomes kind of like, oh, crap, the consequences of my actions.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can just completely reject the idea of getting the anti-Thorian grenades and not use them and just kill everybody.
You can also just, like, beeline through that game and not even realize that you needed to attach it and then end up killing the colonists and being like, wait, why are people mad?
Yeah. Oh. What I wanted to talk about also was the fact that, yes, it was accidentally discovered by this small team. The Exogeni had not been sent there to find the Thorian. They did not plan on doing these experiments. And yet they were that level of opportunistic to take the idea of, we now have something to test and work on that might possibly give us some form of gain. And I don't like that. Once you realize that you're under mind control from something outside of your own control, don't mess with that. Don't mess with mind control.
Yeah, they're taking that adage of like making the best of a bad situation. They're taking that to the extreme. It's really messed up, but totally par for the course with Mass Effect corporations. The really insidious part to me means that to study it, that they had to have somebody unaffected by the Thorian checking in with the colonists to log that behavior.
Yeah.
So who had that shitty job? Well, like any other toxic corporation, you punish dissidents with unpopular tasks. Were you mouthing off to your supervisor? Were you questioning the ethics of their decisions? Enter Dr. Elizabeth Bainham. She was marked as quote-unquote combative by her supervisor because she spoke out about how these colonists were being treated and how Exogeni was totally willing to just let them get infected with a mind-controlling alien. So naturally, management made sure that Bainham was the one to monitor them. It's really easy to miss that in that VI conversation. But man, is that's like, whew. And it now, after having talked about whether it saved the colonists or not, maybe Exogeni should send you a bonus if you kill the colonists, because you're tying up loose ends for them. They can't go and tell the press about what actually happened.
That's some renegade level decision making right there.
That is why we like this game. You can be a total psychopath if you want. So, we also learned that there's multiple divisions, apparently, of Exogeni. There are multiple divisions, at least the biomedical division and the colonial division. Dr. Bainham works in the biomedical division. Now, you might be asking yourself, why would an exploratory charter company need a biomedical division? That's a great question, one that we don't really have the answer to, but we can imagine that their stated justification would be corporate jargon for something like, to support broad human colonization efforts across diverse climates and biomes, making the worlds a better place.
Ew, go away.
Yeah, I'm going to exit on that one. Oh, wait, hey, I'm getting a phone call. It's Meta. They're offering me a job. Okay. So what is their scope then? You know, we know that the Exogeni has multiple divisions. They are working in, they have their little writhing tentacles in so many different fields. It seems pretty broad to narrow down what their scope of their company is, right? They are apparently involved in colonial development, engineering, biotechnical research, archaeology, and xenobotanical research, if you want to call it that. Just to name a few fields of expertise, and that doesn't even address the fact that they are one of the leading researchers on Onterum, I want to say. I think the Alliance contracted out research for Onterum's atmosphere, if I'm remembering off the top of my head right. Going totally off notes here. But I want to say they're one of two companies that's researching the Onterum atmosphere to try and perhaps engineer some kind of terraforming that could happen. So anyway, point proven, it's really, really broad for that company. And I suspect that not everything that they're doing is above board, right? For example, if I was part of their legal team, I would advise that they keep all communication about this Thorian experiment situation to an absolute minimum. Because if it didn't violate a specific law on the books, I would argue that it could violate the spirit of the Alliance's Sudham-Walcott Genetic Heritage Act of 2161. This is the thing that allows the Alliance to give their soldiers genetic packages where they, you know, become a little bit stronger, a little bit, you know, a little bit better eyesight. It's this law states that you can change natural abilities. However, you cannot have people acquire new ones.
Okay, when did I miss this in the lore that there was actually a genetic heritage act?
This, I want to say, was part of the Codex, but I think it's also hinted at during the Binary Helix mission on Novaria, where they're talking about the genetic packages that they give to the Alliance for grading their soldiers. And I think Ashley might bring it up as well. But the specific Sudam Walcott Genetic Heritage Act, I believe, is from the Codex. So anyway, if I was a lawyer, I would say that creating a bunch of Thorian creepers where we have documented incidents of their ability to telepathically communicate and feel, that is not something that is inherently human. And therefore, you have genetically experimented on these people and gave them new abilities that are not natural. You've broken that law. So that's, if I was going to prosecute Exogeny, that's one that I would probably cite, unless there's another specific law in the books in Citadel Conventions. There probably is, about something about not doing this to sentient species. I believe there is, actually. Now that I bring that up, someone's going to correct me and say, hey, actually, it's this law. And for that person who does, thank you. But we are also learning at the same time in Mass Effect 1 that Exogeny is experimenting with Reaper tech. But that is on another world, and we will learn a little bit more about that after the mid-break. Right, Jin?
Yep. Let's go.
All right, let's get over to the mid-break.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer. The foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard.
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
All righty, and here we are in the middle of the show. And let's go ahead and check to see if there's any new reviews. One second, I should have pulled this up earlier. Here we go. I miss Chartable. If anyone works for Chartable or worked for Chartable, and you're listening to this for some reason, just know that we miss you. That's how we used to pull together our reviews. But I do see that we might have a new one. 5 stars from Shigabar. I hope I said that right. It's Xigabar. Zigabar, maybe. So 5 stars. It says, filling my dark space until the next game. Hey there. I just started listening to this podcast a short while ago after I had finished the Dragon Age lore cast. All right. Snaps for our friends the Cups. Big fan of both games, and now that Dragon Age Veilguard has come out, it was time for me to return to the Milky Way. What better way to do that than to brush up on my Mass Effect lore? I love the hosts, they are absolutely hilarious, and sometimes the best part of the show. Sometimes. I agree. The Patreon chats have been some of my favorite episodes. I just recently got through the one where the Patreons were casting characters. I totally agree with all of them. I would, however, cast Liam Neeson as Admiral Hackett. I couldn't think of anyone more suited for a role than that. Anyways, keep up the amazing work. Looking forward to when I'm all caught up. Well, thank you so much, Zigabar. Hopefully I'm saying that right. 5-star review from our friends to the north in Canada. All right, and let's see here. Oh, I was supposed to pull a sound effect to quiz you. Genesis, I was supposed to pull a sound effect to quiz you. I don't believe that I have one, unless I have one here on my soundboard that I can just pull out of a hat. No, I don't have one. The reason being is because when I got a new PC, I had to reinstall my tool to pull sound effects from the actual game. So I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. But for now, why don't we go ahead and shout out our Tier 5 patrons. And let me pull it up. Retrobot, Draco, Superfly 440, Ed Boy, Kira C, Lieutenant Tosino, and William, and that sound is our Reaper tier patron, Commander Shrinky Shep. Thank you so much for another month of truly our salvation through destruction. Seriously, your level of support for this podcast, all of you, floors me. This is, you know, I've literally been asked before when I've been out, like, why am I doing a podcast on a dead game series? And I think about all of the people who love this game, like not just me, not just you, Jen, like I'm thinking about all the people who I've met because of this podcast who absolutely love this game series. And it is hard for me to ever agree with them because, like, the game isn't dead. No, a new game hasn't come out for quite a while. But man, if our love for it isn't keeping it alive, like seriously. So anyway, thank you all so much for your continued support of this show of Mass Effect 2. And we're going to try and keep those lights on as long as we can. But let's get back with the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different, very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right, and we are back from the mid-break. Jin, you know, I left off talking about how they're going to be experimenting with Reaper tech, but I think that there's actually a couple of side missions besides what we do on Pharos specifically, right? Where we learn more about Exogeny?
Yeah, so we've learned quite a bit about Exogeny from the Pharos mission, but there are more ways to discover info, and that's in two side missions, the UNC Colony of the Dead and UNC Exogeny Facility. So we've got two of them to go through, and now with Colony of the Dead, we find out that, quote, the corporation has been secretly researching Reaper technology, although the results have been disastrous to their personnel. An entire survey team on Treban died or were converted to husks following the discovery and excavation of an artifact on the world. Cerberus collaborated with the company for the delivery of dragon's teeth to the Chihaska colony, which also converted the entire colony into husks.
Back up a second, Cerberus. It is always something new with these mother truckers. Wow, they just can't leave well enough alone. Basically, the same situation happening on two different planets in two different systems, right? Where entire colonies of Exogeny people are found dead?
Yeah, absolutely. And on Treban, we find that deep mining cave full of husks. And it turns out that they were a survey team sent by Exogeny. But Exogeny straight up lies to the public and those team members' families, telling the press that they were killed by mercenaries.
But in fact, they were actually killed by those dragon's teeth. The dragon's teeth, the Geth things, that the Geth Reaper tech that turns people into husks. So that was a straight up lie from Exogeny. And on Shaska, we find another Exogeny colony that huskifies people because they were also experimenting with dragon's teeth Reaper tech. So it's, and of course, Cerberus is collaborating with them. You know, these missions prove that Exogeny works with Cerberus, with in quotation marks. Because who's really working with Cerberus, or are you working for them? Here's a log that we find from Dr. Gamoral that kicks off one of those quests. Quote, I don't trust this Cerberus group. They may pay us well, but if this gets out before we've developed an antidote, it's just not smart. They won't tell us what they want the samples for or why they wanted them delivered to the Metano system. My records show nothing of interest there. And thus is Cerberus's MO. Be shady for the sake of being shady. Never tell anyone your intentions. Compartmentalize every mission. That is totally Cerberus. But at this point in Mass Effect 1, you know, Cerberus was being referred to as an Alliance Black Ops cell. There was kind of a retcon with Cerberus a little bit later. But if we're going to try and reconcile those things, it totally checks out that no one would know the other arms or heads of Cerberus.
Yeah, absolutely. And finding out, you know, because we only heard Cerberus a handful of times in Mass Effect 1, so we really could only go off of the lore of what we knew. The Black Ops mission, the possible stuff that they did on Luna to to attack the bases up there. So this seems in line of what we know about Cerberus within Mass Effect 1 only. It is interesting that they also started off with this thing of they may pay us well, because we know by ME2, Cerberus is a very well-funded machine.
Right. So, you know, they are paying Exogeni. So who's working for whom here? You know, Cerberus is very clearly calling some of the shots. I think Cerberus wanted some scientists to experiment with the dragon's teeth, but have this plausible deniability or kind of a buffer in case things got bad, and things did indeed get bad. We learn more about that during the UNC Exogeni facility mission, right?
Mm-hmm. And this, we get more details on how they hide that criminal behavior. Now, there are a few ways that this mission can be acquired, and for somebody who hacks and decrypts everything that I possibly can, I get it from the console labeled Exogeni Terminal in the cargo bay of the facility on Pharos. And that gives us this message. Confidential. The test samples were due to arrive 3 days ago, but we haven't heard anything from the colony or the cargo vessel. We suspect the samples became volatile and recommended cutting off all further contact with the Notocrux colony. Even if the colony is discovered, no one should be able to trace the events there back to us.
So this is a pretty good environmental storytelling that we're getting here. You know, it's kind of feeding us breadcrumbs. Not exactly clear what's going on, but it looks like Exogeni sent some kind of sample to a research facility on Notocrux, the sample that they've acquired through working with Cerberus. And it's heavily implied that it's the dragon's teeth. But once you land on the planet, you quickly learn that Exogeni has been doing some less than savory research here. You make your way into that facility, and then you find these hiding civilians, and you're listening to Dr. Ross, who's in charge of this facility. And after a few minutes, she realizes that, you know, it's pointless to lie. Dr. Ross explains that they created these creepers, the Thorian creepers, from altered samples that resulted in supposedly docile and obedient creatures. I was crossing my streams earlier when I mentioned the dragon's teeth. Dragon's teeth was on Chaska. However, these creepers went berserk after the events of Pharos in Mass Effect 1 because the Thorian died. So these creepers, according to the Exogeni researcher, they had found a way to make them docile, but when the Thorian died, they went crazy, and only Dr. Ross and her three companions could make it to safety in that room.
Yeah, I'm sure that they were docile and obedient because they were being mind-controlled by an off-planet alien, which is, like, the implications of that, being able to have a level of mind control and attachment to creatures that are not even in the same geographical space as you, that makes the Thorian even scarier.
Yeah, it's almost like an organic quantum entanglement thing. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. How else could it work? You know, but the fact that it wasn't just like a retcon that they made this a thing, that the Thorian can control beings on other planets, but it was intentionally written in there, is really cool. And of course, the way we discover it is because Exogeni is a really horribly corrupt corporation.
Yeah, and out of concerns on corporate espionage, and because their work was illegal to begin with, the scientists activated a distress beacon with no specifics, hoping that their employer would answer. But Exogeni is busy dealing with the fallout on Pharos, so they couldn't respond.
Sorry, we're busy. Please leave a message and we'll get back to you, we'll get back to you at our earliest convenience. We appreciate your loyalty to Exogeni, making the world's a better place. Hey, that could be a really great t-shirt, by the way. New Mass Effect Lorecast t-shirt. Exogeni, making the worlds a better place. Or,
I like it.
Bringing the worlds together, right? Because the Thorian creeper.
Ooh, okay. We definitely have to get our artwork solidified and out there. I like that.
Exogeni, small worlds. I'm just going to get more concise, more and more concise.
All right. So the last little bit here is that Dr. Ross attempts to convince Shepard that they've learned their lesson and that there's no need to report them to the authorities. Please, Shepard, don't do that. And normally Exo Jenny would have had her back, but since they have their hands full, Ross has an emergency fund that she wants to bribe Shepard with in exchange for their freedom. Now, accepting the money will yield credits and you will be sent back outside of the facility. But rejecting the bribe leads to morality points in either direction, depending on your response, as well as a fight. But two mercenaries and two scientists versus Shepard and their squad is a pretty quick and easy battle.
Yeah, this is like a really classic example of how to drill in and gamify the Paragon Renegade system, where it's so stereotypical, where like Paragon is the paladin, right? No, I will not accept your bribe. You will face justice, heathen. And you will stand mm-hmm. before an alliance trial. Now, the typical Paragon. Whereas Renegade is like, yeah, you can grease my palms a little bit. All right, nice doing business with you. See ya.
Oh, or there's the third option, like the accepting the bribe is the neutral. The renegade option is, no, what you've done here is deplorable and I'm going to murder you for it.
You're right, I forgot. You can just kill them, yeah. Well, I guess that's like an Oathbreaker paladin, right? Or isn't there another kind of paladin where it's like a vengeance paladin?
Mm-hmm, paladin of vengeance.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You can just do that, say that you're not renegade, say you're a paladin of vengeance, and then you can sleep well.
Hey, my renegon, I sleep well at night. But I don't think that I chose the renegade options on this one. I think I do end up killing them I think I might accept the money every once in a while. Just because I don't like killing civilians. I don't like killing scientists. I don't like killing people.
Yeah, I think I always accept it because I want them to rot in a jail cell. Like, and more than that, I want the world to know what they were doing. And I know that at least in our own world, the way that you can get the truth out is by forcing them to stand trial. That way all of the facts become part of the public record through court documents. Mm-hmm. And then anyone can read them. And inevitably, it will get to the press. So, but if you want to summarily execute them because you're a Spectre, maybe those records would be sealed so no one would ever know.
Or maybe because you're a Spectre, you can just put all that information out there.
True. Yeah, I guess you could. But then it could always be, you know, attacked, right? It would hinge on your credibility. Someone could always attack it, deride it, say, well, this is just according to the account of one Spectre, right? Who knows what he's not telling us? Something like that.
One little quick trivia fact. There is a single empty Thorian pod similar to the one that Shiala was released in, and it can be found in the corner of the facility.
That's a big trivia fact. If that was intentionally placed there, then that could mean that there is another Shiala somewhere. Perhaps someone that didn't get like cleansed of the Thorian's influence. That could be terrifying, right? That could be another hook for a next game that, hey, guess what? The Thorian wasn't actually killed.
Ooh, that definitely could be that. And I mean, they did say that they sent samples. We're not told what type of samples. Maybe it was a pod that they were given to run tests on. And whatever came out of the pod was the patient zero.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that is the samples they were talking about. That's really cool. Well, we do hear more about Exo Jenny in future games, especially Mass Effect 2 when we're on Ilium. If you remember, we run into Shiala on Ilium where her skin is still green. And there is basically something going on with another corporation, or at least a clerk, working for another corporation, Baria Frontiers, where there is a contract that has kind of been screwing over the people of Zeus Hope, assuming that you saved them, assuming there are people of Zeus Hope. And it's up to Shepard to really negotiate a better end to that contract. It's a good quest in and of itself, but when we get to Ilium, that like opens up a whole nother can of worms when we are examining the corporations of the Mass Effect universe, right? Because there is the whole thing with the Corian. I cannot remember her name right now near the bar.
The indentured servitude questline. I don't remember her name either.
She is, for all intents and purposes, like a debt slave. And her contract, she's pleading with Shepard to get her contract signed because she needs it signed. Where if you can play that a few different ways, but all in all, we get this peer into the Mass Effect universe where it is incredibly dark. Slavery is essentially legal in the Terminus systems, especially around Ilium, where their contracts are traded. And corporations are like totally cool with it. So, yeah, we get this other dark view into Mass Effect corporate culture, where I'm sure corporations change a little bit between Terminus systems and Citadel space, but probably not that much. So that's something that we will talk a little bit about in either next week or maybe the week after that. We got to get in touch with our Reaper in charge of the show and ask our Reaper tier what they'd like us to cover. So that's all that we have for this week. I know it was a shorter than normal episode. Exogeny is not, it has a lot more lore than most corporations we hear mentioned in Mass Effect, but ultimately still not that much. So we're going to be doing as many corporate episodes as we can, trying to exhaust all of the corporate lore there is. But sometimes that's going to be smaller than others. So Genesis, what do you got going on in the meantime, and how can people get a hold of you?
So I just wanted to quickly state that even the wiki doesn't give that Corian a name. So I don't know if she has a name.
I feel like she has a name. I'm going to have to go back and check.
Yeah, we'll definitely figure out if this Corian has a name before we talk about that questline and synthetic insights. So where you can reach out to me, I am on all the Discords. I am on the Robots Radio Discord. I'm on my own Two Girls, One Ship Discord. And that is my other show, Two Girls, One Ship, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. I'm also co-host of the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where Toasty and I dive into the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk.
Heavily recommend both of those shows if you haven't gone and listened to them. I think you'll enjoy them, especially the Mass Effect romance episodes of Two Girls, One Ship. All right, I am still streaming my Cyberpunk playthrough. I swear I am. I haven't streamed in a couple of weeks. If people have been following me, wondering why they're not getting the notification, that's why. Life has been kind of crazy, as we talked about a little earlier, but I got this week off work, so I might be streaming some Cyberpunk or maybe something else. Go ahead and follow me at N7 The Legend on Twitch. And by the way, everybody, follow the Mass Effect Lorecast account on Blue Sky. We are leaving that cesspool known as X. Don't want anything to do with it. Go ahead and follow us on Blue Sky. That's where we're going to be pushing out the instant social media updates that we need to. I'm also on Blue Sky, N7 The Legend. Genesis is on Blue Sky. I am Genesis, correct? And we're trying to build an audience there. So if you can help us out, that'd be great. But that is all I have for this week. And stay tuned next week for possibly another corporate episode. All right, Spectres. As Shepard says, we should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.